bratwurst.
Overrated, underrated. Do another sound check, Andy. I can't tell which. The mics are all different today. Go ahead.
Hello.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show. Very excited to have our special guest today. We're on location in Chicago at a shitty hotel that will remain nameless. It's not that, you know, you go to some hotels and then you go to the shitty version of that hotel. That's what we're in.
It's not that bad.
He doesn't mind.
I've stayed in worse.
Yeah. Golf promotes staying in bad hotels. Why is that? The true golf adventurer.
I think because you get to a lot of remote areas, and I'm not really much of a planner, so I'm always on, like, hotel tonight, last minute, and, you know, if you're only going to sleep for, like, 6 hours, what's the point of having a really nice room?
Because the priority is the golf. So I've realized I didn't really do a proper introduction.
That's
Andy
okay.
Johnson, you are the husband to Mrs. Fried Egg.
Exactly.
You are Mr. Fried Egg. You cultivate an educated learning experience, your edutainment, if you will, around golf course architecture. You've got a blog called The Fried Egg. You've got obviously a very popular Twitter account, Fried Egg Golf.
I think it's the_fried_egg.
It's all very confusing, but yeah. If you type in fried egg and golf, you will get to Andy.
A tip for any aspiring entrepreneur, do not name your company after a common food.
I didn't really have that opportunity. I wasn't thinking, there was no food that I was thinking of, but, you know, I mean, obviously Shane Bacon comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of potential future collaboration.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
We did a pod recently. It was the first edition of Bacon and Eggs.
Right, and then you've got, obviously, DJ Pihowski. He's a pie.
Yeah.
So you can have a pie of bacon and fried eggs, and then the three of you would basically just go on an Avis-sponsored road trip.
Yeah, a breakfast pie.
Breakfast pie.
Yeah.
They have those in Australia.
The breakfast pie.
But you took a career change, and now you are the fried egg from now on 24 hours a day.
Yes.
This was not always right around the time when we met a couple of years ago, you were in between things. And I think the reason why I bring that up is because a lot of people ask me, how do I get into the golf industry? And I think you're a great example of how do you answer that question?
Well, I was an idiot, you know? I was working in like for a tech startup, and it was a media company. So I started to learn a ton about media. I was a horrible writer, and
that surprises me. You're a great writer now.
Well, naturally, yeah. What you do when you're bad at something is, you know, you double down on it. So
golf.
I was lucky. My wife was a journalism major, so she kind of edited it and made it readable early on. And I just started writing this newsletter about, you know, the PGA Tour, golf courses, all sorts of stuff. And
you wrote a newsletter about what interested you because?
Well, I was I was kind of the target of what, you know, golfers are. I was a busy professional.
They have you on the wall at PGA Tour headquarters, and your name is Paul, and you're a demographic.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Right. And you probably have a German import sedan.
No. Oh, yeah, I do have.
You do.
I guess I forgot that Volkswagen is a German import.
You you play X times a year?
How many? Yeah. I was playing like 50 times a year. I was playing amateur events. I was, you know, I was doing well in my profession. I was, you know, I was a member of a country club. I was exactly who they wanted. I watched PGA Tour golf, but I didn't read anything.
Why not? Well,
I just felt like nothing was written for the busy professional.
What does that mean?
So, you know, if I say I read a lot about work, you know, I read about content mostly because I was, you know, working for this media company and figuring out ways for us to make new money. And I just thought about myself as like, I'm reading for work all the time. I might have like 5 minutes that I can squeeze in to read about golf, but I'd have to go find it. And half the times I'd click on it and I'd be like, what is this? Why am I reading this?
Like it was just merely a transcript of an interview.
Yeah, it was just like your stock, like, you know, no insight, just reporting the play-by-play. Or, you know, there's a lot more good stuff out there. But at the time, like, you know, what do? You go look at certain things. And I think at the time it was a bad point in golf media. I think, you know, it's improved a lot. But So I just thought to myself, like, well, why isn't something just delivered right to me that I can read whenever? I don't have to go look for it. Mm. I know it's going to be quality, and it's got a voice, and it's got personality, and there's, you know. So that's when the newsletter, The Fried Egg, started.
And so it wasn't about a current event. It wasn't about some gossip. What it was about something kind of, I guess, greater that interested you, that was about golf. It wasn't sort of what commonly was referred to as golf news.
Well, it was golf news, but it was just written in a different format. Like, you know, in 2-3 minutes, I could know everything going on in golf.
Interesting.
As opposed to devoting 5 minutes to read all about, you know, this week's CIMB Classic in Malaysia, which I don't really care about.
You're referring to mainly articles written by AP, PGA Tour, Golf Digest, basically every main media golf outlet.
Yeah, they write these long articles about
I don't topic. Even read them. I have no yeah. idea.
Well, they write these articles, 500 words, about a topic that could be explained in 2 sentences. And it's like, why am I reading 500 words about how far Cameron Champ hits the ball? Like, I could just look at a stat and see, oh, right. this guy hits it 340 yards. That's pretty cool.
Right.
That's all I need to know.
You were moving on at that point, but what did you, because at some point, did the Fried Egg, how did that blog, how did that
so
email
I was,
list change
I'm,
for you?
I'm doing this email thing for a while, and, you know, I'm writing about the tour, and, you know, one of the things that it was different, it was unique, but I didn't have, like, a lane. But as an entrepreneur, one of the things you have to do is you always have to be trying new things. You know, if you stop evolving and you stop iterating, you're dead. You know, you can't keep the same bland, you know, thing because everybody catches up regardless. Like, if you have an advantage when you're small because you can try a bunch of stuff. So one day I just wrote a golf course architecture article, and it went viral compared to anything else I'd done to date. And I was like, well, I should do more of this.
How could you tell that a blog article, right? Am I right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Was going viral.
So like on Twitter, it was getting retweeted like crazy. Oh. I have,
what was
you
the
know,
subject?
You have
what
analytics.
Was the content? What was the a headline?
It was an article about Redan holes.
Oh, template holes.
Yeah. So it's just the article.
Very hot right now. When was this done? 4 years ago? Three?
It was like two years and a couple months. It was okay. I published it on the 4th of July. I'll never forget. It's like a horrible day for web traffic.
No one's publishing golf articles on picnic day.
And I like smashed all of my other daily traffic days like by like a large multiple. I can't remember how many more, but I was like, whoa, I got to do this because it was unique. It was different. And that I think that's the biggest thing if you want to try and get in the golf industry, you have to be unique. You have to be different. You can't like just go and look at somebody that's been successful and say, I'm going to do that.
Right.
Because you're already way behind. And you got to have, you know, something unique that you bring to the table. And you got to try a lot of things.
So, you know, I follow that rule. But in a sense, I was very lucky because I didn't have the fucking idea. Mm-hmm. Right? Someone smarter than me, who was like everybody else, looked at me and said, you know, this guy's the guy. Mm-hmm. Put him in there. Go try it, guy. And I was like, whatever, I'll try anything, you know? And so I got kind of backwards into that and got kind of lucky, but you're actually smart.
No.
And you thought, or did you learn this lesson post-decision?
I'm an idiot. You know, we're all idiots.
Oh, and you're a moron?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Inside joke from Andy. But so you go viral on the Redan hole article.
I mean, in terms of like now, I would like laugh at how...
Because now 2 years, you've smashed those numbers by a factor of what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know exactly, but like...
Doesn't want to discuss numbers.
It would be like a really bad article today. But
really?
Like then, I mean, then I was like small. I mean, it was... I would never put out the piece of content that I put out then because like the image quality was pretty poor.
You have very good image quality on the site and on the Instagram and on your Twitter and on all your videos.
But that's something that comes later. Like you can't focus in on that. Early on, you got to just find what people like, you know, you got to find your voice, like brand and stuff matters when you're big and like, you know, brand quality. But when you're small, you just got to figure out where your lane is and then you got to build from that lane.
See, this is really interesting because I'm actually kind of here right now. in my own career, right? Mm-hmm. As we come up on the third season of Adventures in Golf, you know, airing in the next couple months, sort of slowly, other things I want to do. I mean, the podcast, right? I mean, this in and of itself was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
I did it almost to shut people up who were saying you should do this. Or I did it because Shane Bacon was like, oh, you did a good pod with me. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking do this. And I don't know, the idea, the things you're talking about are very inspiring. The idea of small sample size means you can make mistakes, means you can try new things. And I find it, it's interesting because I know you're coming at it from a perspective of business, and at least in your old job, right? It was about evolving to be more successful and make more money. I kind of do it just because I get excited about it. And in some ways, the AIG format is, I'm looking forward to evolving that as well, you know, so it's interesting. Anyway, I want to hear more about when did the egg finally crack for you as far as architecture? Was it just this day, this July 4th day?
I was always interested in it. So like one of the things that I started like the whole thing was with is like, I was like, you know, if I'm the target reader, then what interests me should interest more people than just me. So I had always been interested in golf course architecture. As a kid, I caddied at a really nice golf course. You know, I played high school golf
in Chicago. Do I know it? Is it famous? Or
it's called Knollwood. I caddied there for like 8 years, probably 7 years.
Okay.
So, and then I, you know,
a lot of fond memories. Can we just dig into that experience for a minute?
You want to talk about Knollwood?
Would you like getting? Are you allowed to talk about your mistrials there?
Oh yeah, I worked the back room too. Taught junior golf. You know, one of the proud days was when I, you know, we would go get towels from the basement of the men's locker room, and I figured out that they kept all the beer down there, like in a fridge. And I'd go down there, I'd have stacks of towels, like, you know, and they'd be the clean ones, bring them back, and I'd put them in the cart. But what I'd do is I'd layer into the folded towels beers, go back to the cart barn. You know, I was closing that day. I'd just be back there. Wouldn't see Andy
for a bit.
Yeah, I'd be washing carts, crushing beers.
Listen to some Dead, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Headphones or? Did you have a speaker out there?
We had a speaker in the back. Right. I used headphones. A lot of times, like if I was hungover, when I was in college at this time too. And I'd be hungover in the morning.
Of course.
I'd go out to the range and I would sleep back where the range cart was cut.
On duty?
Oh, yeah, like yes. For a couple hours.
So good.
Yeah.
This reminds me of, did you ever see that show Red Oak? It's on the internet or something. I can't remember, but it's you know, who's on it is fucking Richard Kind, who's a guest on the podcast a while ago. He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm and Mad About You. But anyway, it's about this kid who like works at a country club and he just doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? And he ends up dating one of the members' daughters and he's like, stay away from my daughter. And it's just this funny like misadventures of a kind of coming of age young man. And so you loved golf at the time?
Oh, yeah.
You're an accomplished golfer. You played in the Mid-Am at Stonewall along with, coincidentally, Colt.
Yeah.
Who travels and works with me all the time. And, you know, so at this age, you love golf, but you're not hoping for a competitive greatness.
No, I just love golf. I mean, I grew up working at a golf course. I played golf, you know, so it's just I just love golf. Like that's at the end of the day, I just love golf.
Did you ever have a problem with the stereotypical golfer?
I mean, I wasn't like the stereotypical golfer. I worked at a golf course,
right?
I grew up riding my bike, like my buddy down the street and I would ride our bikes with our bags on our shoulders to the local muni course. And I'd spend all day there. You know, that was my like life growing up. I'd either be caddying or I'd be at the local muni course.
What was the muni?
It's called Lake Bluff Golf Club.
Sounds nice.
No, so
you would work at Knollwood and then you would go hit up Lake Bluff to do your personal time.
Yeah, eventually, you know, I moved up the chain amazingly, despite my sleeping.
Despite your lack of effort.
Yeah. I moved up the chain. I taught junior golf and they let me like play and practice at night there.
Right.
So that after that, then I just kind of spent all the time there. But growing up, like, yeah, I grew up playing, you know, muni golf. And I think it's the amazing thing I find with my podcast is how many people in golf grew up playing muni golf or started playing golf with muni golf.
In terms of just the amount of people that rely on public golf access?
Just like the people in golf. There's so many people that are in golf, like
working in golf.
Yeah,
like myself or Shane or whoever.
Exactly, such a big number of them are kids that grew up playing muni golf.
Well, you know, I mean, that's because we need jobs. There's the kids that grew up going to Maidstone are like, I got it made. That's a bad pun. I didn't mean it that way. But you know, kids growing up national, they didn't need a job. Mm-hmm. They're not going to work in golf. They're the Bobby Jones.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We're just like, I need a fucking job, and I like playing golf. How can I do both at the same time?
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. I play less golf now than I used to.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. Common.
But the thing that's nice is like work doesn't feel like work. I mean, I work like crazy hours. You know, I was up till like 2 a.m. last night because I just got an idea in my head, couldn't get it out. But I woke up then this morning, I was like ready to go again. Like if that was work, like back in the day, like when I would be up late working and then having to wake up the next morning, I'd be like, I don't want to go to work.
You are experiencing, or at least talking about something that I experience, which is this idea that, you know, how a turbine works, like the fuel catches on fire and then is propelled into another fan where it catches on fire again and then speeds up the entire thing. And for me, that's kind of the experience is like, I will go experience something in reality and film it. And just do that. And the process of doing that and watching that makes me want to go do it again. And it's literally the snake that eats itself of experiencing life in either video or whether it's a podcast or whatever it is. Even just writing shit on Instagram. Like, I'm not a writer either, but the experience of sharing that is worth, like, inspires me to do it further. And so do you find yourself that you're, like, you know... This kind of, I'm struggling with how to describe it, but the experience of playing golf is almost fading as the experience of creating a world of golf that you kind of are like, you know, not selling, but sharing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was fucking awesome the other day because I just finished like that Lasonia video article and like I was doing that. And just like you were talking about, it makes you want to do it again.
Right.
Like, and then we went like 2 days later. It was awesome because then we went and I like got to relive that whole experience again.
Right.
And it was funny as then like the Golfers Journal was like, hey, we need this article from you because I'm habitually a late offender. And I was like, oh, I'm going to write. And I wrote something about Lasonia. So I almost did it again.
Amazing.
Because it was fresh in my mind, but I just like cranked it out. It took no time because like the experience was so fresh. And that's when you get your best work done. Is like when you have a great experience.
It's only work if you would rather be doing something else.
Yeah. I that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's fun to do the stuff. Like, I feel like writing sometimes, you can get in blocks on writing. But then when you're inspired, it's like you just want to keep going.
Right.
You know?
So you are working at the Knollwood Country Club and... You obviously take a job like everybody else on planet Earth. You discover after a period of time you don't like it, and you decide that you want to go back to maybe that time and work in golf again. Obviously, you don't want to sleep on the back of the range because now you're in your late 20s. What do? You start the writing.
Yeah. So it's funny. I'm a huge basketball fan too, and when I started the Fried Egg. I actually wanted to start it for basketball, not golf.
Would you still have called it the Fried Egg?
No, it would have been something different.
Got it.
But I didn't want to write every night. I didn't want to commit to every night.
Amazing. Because
so that's why I went into, I did golf. I had the itch. I really believed in the way I was thinking about the way people digest content and the way busy professionals, which, you know, that's a really good, you know, audience. I believed in the manner in which I was doing it. So like golf was something that was good because I could speak write at a pretty high level. Because I know how to play and play well, you know, and I have a lot of friends that golf. So it was something, and I only did it twice a week to start because I was still working my other job, but I'd go into work and just write. Fried Egg all the time.
That's amazing. And you're like, would you, how often would they ever catch you?
No, no.
Because you were slick, or you would have like multiple. Would you have a method to conceal this shared time?
No, I was. I mean, I'm just
not a big deal.
I was still doing.
I haven't had a real job in a long time, so I don't know what this is like.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we were a startup, so it was like a similar company. We were figuring things out, and you know, I had way too much responsibility for my qualifications, which now I have even more responsibility for my limited skill set and qualifications.
But you're succeeding and you're enjoying it.
Success is a relative term.
How do you define success?
I don't know if I'm growing.
Are you growing?
Yeah, I'm growing. It's going well. I don't like jinxing it. I haven't.
You're not going to jinx anything.
Yeah, I haven't made it or anything.
What could you possibly jinx?
I don't know. People could just hate me. They might listen to this and just say fuck the fried egg.
Really, Andy? I think people would listen to this and they'd be like, oh, he's not such a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's.
See, I think people. I'm not going to edit this. I think I don't edit the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think people listening to this should implore Andy to go out there further. Don't you think? We talked about this a little bit, but I think you are a very interesting person and you have a very interesting way of looking at things. And I think on some level, I want more fried egg. I want to see more of the egg itself.
Well, you got to get there. It's baby steps. trying to do everything well, I don't believe you should start doing something else until you do everything that's your core functions well. And I keep adding more core functions, but got to do it well before you move on to the next thing.
Keep adding more core functions in the sense that you started with articles.
I started with this newsletter.
Newsletter.
2 days a week, right?
Okay. What's the difference between a newsletter and articles?
So a newsletter goes right to somebody's email.
Okay.
So now that's 3 days.
You can only get it via email.
You could get it online too, but
Email's better.
The best way to get it is via email.
Give Andy your email. Go to thefriedegg.co.
Thefriedegg.co, thefriedegg.com. I own a lot of variations of fried egg.
A lot of items.
Yeah.
Anyway, give me your email and then you can experience this newsletter in the flesh or at least digitally.
Yeah, so I started with that. Then all of a sudden I started to write some articles because I realized hey, I need to get people to sign up for this.
Oh.
So if I write articles, they're on my site and then I can ask them to sign up for the newsletter.
So the newsletter was at some point a business plan for you that you could subsidize.
I just kind of started this.
I don't understand newsletter. I don't understand it.
It goes out. It sends out. It's an email that you get Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 a.m. And everything you want to read is right there in the email.
Do you realize that this is rare? Am I right? Is it rare?
Well, yeah. I think it's like a newer business model. The reason I started this, I watched my wife, who doesn't really care about politics or news or anything. There's this newsletter called The Skim.
Okay, I think I've heard of that.
Wildly popular. And all of a sudden, my wife is like, hey, did you hear about this Russia thing? And
I'm She's on you about current events.
And I'm like, what? How do you know about that?
Because you're not watching the news.
Yeah, she's not watching the news.
She's not on BuzzFeed.
Yeah. But she was like, I read The Skim every day. And I was like, oh. And it's that same format. Like really quick hits and everything you need to know in 3 minutes. So I signed up for that and I was working in this tech startup and working regularly with entrepreneurs around the cities that we had websites in. So I had this entrepreneurial bug.
That's so interesting to hear what falls into the shopping cart at the last minute and ultimately changes the rest of your life, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. What if my wife wasn't my wife? What if I was dating her at that time?
Well, I was kind of thinking more as what if she was I got this app that tells me everything. And then you're like, okay. And then you go somehow are convinced that you need to raise $150,000 and you end up sort of owing this Russian guy a lot of money and he cuts off one of your toes.
Yeah, I could be buried in a ditch, dug by that ditch digger we were talking about.
Right by a beautiful golf course.
Yeah, exactly.
The irony. All right, all day. Yeah, whoa. Can't read. I can't read, everybody. All right, everybody. The holidays are always a great time to literally boost your footwear game. You know I love the Boost. The Boost, by the way, do we even know what Boost is? Boost, like, came from NASA. Google it. Prove me wrong. Tell me that there's something better than Boost, and I will literally block you. No, but there is nothing better than Boost. Like, Boost is the jam. Anyway, for the holidays, boost your footwear game and do yourself a favor. Hop over to adidas.com and click on the golf section. Could be a gift for someone else, y'all. But Adidas makes sure that you can't go wrong. And that's pretty true. Like, I can't find a pair of Adidas shoes that I don't like. Right now, I'm digging the Ryder Cup special editions, which obviously you can't get. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to come out in a douchey way. It's just true. But that style, I actually can't think of the name of the style. I think it's the Tour 360. I love that shoe. It's the most comfortable shoe ever. I'll wear it by the beach. There's the new Addy Power Forged. Ooh, that's a slick shoe, actually. I did get a peek at that. That's on the website right now. Addy Power Forged, and of course, my favorites. Oh, Joel knows my favorites when he writes this. The Tour 360 and the Tour 360 Knit. Tour 360, obviously, you're getting the waterproof full leather upper. Tour 360 Knit, a little more breathable, a little more fresh for the hipsters out there. But they both have all of that, super grippy, sticky spikes, soft spikes. Soft spikes. Don't forget the Addy Cross and Addy Pure. I love the Addy Pure. That is the Justin Rose style. That is the Addy Pure, basically, you can wear anywhere. You can wear it to a tea time or a date, and I promise you're going to get good looks. I hear there's also something new coming early next year, which I'm stoked about. I did hear that. I actually saw that. So watch out, folks. Get ready for that. So go to Adidas or follow Adidas Golf for all the latest news and info at Adidas Golf, ADI. DASGOLF. Yeah, check it out. Get boosted for the holidays, y'all. Later.
Yeah, so that's how it kind of started. So this newsletter, so you do the newsletter. I got it up to, I started writing articles. Then I started doing the newsletter 3 days a week, so you're adding. And
that's the thing where you commit.
Yeah.
You tell the subscribers, expect this Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, that's the only way it can work for me. Because right. Like, I set deadlines so that I have to hold myself accountable.
Right.
Because otherwise, I'm a horrible planner.
Me too.
Procrastinator of the century.
You know what I heard the other day on the same topic is, do you snooze?
No.
Okay, because apparently, that's good. Because apparently snoozing is one of the worst things you can do for your psychological life. When you snooze, you're basically telling yourself, it's okay to break promises to myself.
It's fascinating.
And so I really try not to snooze as well. And I notice that when I do, it typically, and actually it results in, like, from a science, from like biologically speaking, more grogginess.
That makes sense because you're messing with your REMs.
Fucking with it.
Yeah. Because like nobody likes getting those like 10 minute naps.
No. So Andy, you don't snooze and you commit to the newsletter schedule.
Yeah. So then I started a podcast.
And you start the pod. Now, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah. It was before there were like a million golf podcasts.
It was definitely before the Eric Anders Lang show. There's B-E-A-L and A-E-A-L.
So some stuff is always, it's luck.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was lucky that I started when I started.
Knowing you now, I'm actually surprised you have a podcast.
I've got two podcasts now.
You've got two, but you have a great voice, and you're great at talking, and you're really great at timing. This is why I think you should be on camera more.
Maybe.
This is your inner Larry. You're very Larry David, by the way. Do you compare yourself?
I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I love Seinfeld. I think it's just fascinating. Larry David might be one of like my dream foursome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he might be in it, because I would just love to watch him get frustrated by just the little things.
Did you read his article in The New Yorker?
I didn't.
The five stages of golf. He relates the experience of playing golf to the experience of working through grief, denial, anger, deal making, and acceptance. And it's one of the funniest reads out there. I have it on my list to read on the podcast. So maybe next pod, I'll read that for everybody, so you can go Google it. But it is one of the funniest reads ever.
You got to get LD on the pod.
He's an
LA guy.
He's the kind of guy that's just not fucking interested. He doesn't care.
No.
I mean, I would love to have him on. I've actually met him twice, and the first one was a high buy. The second one was literally We were at a really, really fancy bar in on 50th Street and Park Avenue, I think, something around there. And he walked straight up to me. And I'm in a group of people. I think I was, I mean, not to name drop, but named Dave Chappelle, talking with Dave Chappelle about golf.
No way.
Because Dave doesn't like golf, but in Ohio, it's everywhere. A lot of golf near him. And you know, he was like, wow, I didn't think golfers would meditate. That's so cool, man. And then Larry David comes up, and I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, Larry, I'm talking with Dave Chappelle about golf. He's like, that's great. And he literally reaches behind my neck with his hand as though he's kind of going to kiss me on the cheek. But instead, he reaches and grabs my back of my shirt to reveal the name tag because he's interested in knowing who made my shirt. Finds out, can't remember the brand, and literally slaps me on the shoulder and says, great shirt. Have a good night.
Hey, you got what he wanted. It's a very Larry David thing to do.
I'm glad I was able to give him something because I'm sure a lot of people just want to take from Larry. I'd love to have him on the podcast. I think it'd be really funny. But
you know, you got to keep building the relationship. I believe I don't like asking people for stuff.
You don't?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, like, I don't know. I think that it's better just not to ask. You build up enough, you know, rapport with somebody. You build up a good enough relationship with people. They're going to ask, how can I help you? As opposed to you know... Everybody always is looking to get something out of relationships. So rather than asking, you know, I prefer to, you know, have people ask me how they can help me, or, you know, me to ask somebody else how I can help them, you know.
I agree. And sadly, I do agree that most relationships and most things in life, unfortunately, are designed around receiving something.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that, and I think this is why golf and golf making golf content for me makes me happy, is that there is a collaborative element to it. I mean, I don't want to be rich. I would like to have a sustainable lifestyle where I can do what I want to do, which is basically talk to you, right, about the thing
you want to talk to Larry David. You know, let's.
You're as good as Larry David as far as right now is concerned. I'll tell you, Andy. No, you're funny, dude, because everywhere we went, you have these Larry David-esque observations about so many. What was the one we had outside Chick-fil-A when we were driving home? It was so funny, dude.
Can't even remember.
I can't remember, but it was really funny. You're like, why is it? It's very Seinfeld also.
Well, there's a lot of questions. I always wonder about stuff.
Yeah, why?
Like, you know, when you walk through life, you just there's so a lot of, like, why does this happen? You know,
what does that think of? How do you apply that to golf? Because I mean, we were talking before we started the podcast. You were considering renouncing your United States golf citizenship, and what was that about?
I've never really played golf abroad.
You never have. You only played once in where was it? South America.
Yeah, and I just
not known for its courses.
There's so many things that bother me about American golf,
like, sure.
Just in general, how long it takes, how nobody walks. Like, I like riding a cart every once in a while. Like, why would you go to this beautiful golf course and ride in a cart? Like, if you walk, you walk with people and you conversate. Like,
agreed, 100%.
People play so slow. People take so long to play. It's just, it kind of drives me nuts versus, yeah. You know, and I look at,
Phone's ringing.
Yes, yeah, it's my wife.
Want to grab it?
No, we can pause. Okay. It's fine.
Okay.
She doesn't. You don't edit this stuff, so.
I don't edit it. I would think we would hear the convo.
Yeah. And Mrs.
She's like, I'll keep her safe.
Yeah, Mrs. Fried Egg doesn't need to
Mrs. be Mrs. Fried Egg has got her own business coming out, everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. If you have a woman in your life that doesn't love golf, throw her Mrs. Fried Egg Twitter account.
She's not much of a golfer.
How many follows are you waiting for her to get before you give her her own column?
I don't know. She wrote something. I never published it. No. So we went to a tournament. We went to the Dell Match Play, and she kind of just hung out in Austin doing some stuff all week, you know, just hanging out. And I was like, you want to come to the tournament one day? So she comes in Saturday, like midday, and I get her like an inside the ropes badge. She walks inside the ropes, and she just like she's like, can we go? Like two holes.
Doesn't care.
Just has no clue.
Wow.
Like what she's, yeah.
That's VIP. Is it a tournament day?
Yeah, it was like the match play. It was Jesus like the Saturday Christ. Saturday
inside,
round.
Inside the ropes on a Saturday?
Yeah.
That's not even buyable.
Yeah.
You can't buy that.
Yeah, so she has no clue. She wrote an article, but I never published it.
About that experience?
Yeah.
She was like, inside what ropes?
Yeah, she was like, why does Bubba take so long to hit a shot?
Fascinating.
Yeah, she's got all kinds of things. Like
hard hitting.
Yeah, it might get resurrected. It could get published some other time. It's the lost articles.
From the archive?
It's like when a artist dies, like, you know, all of a sudden, Tom Petty, all these unreleased albums and songs come out. Like, when I go, Mrs. Fried Egg's just going to publish all of her on...
Yeah, and she might release, like... Anyway, moving on. I wanted to go back to American Golf. So it's slow, is the last thing you were talking about?
Yeah, it's slow. It's just... takes long, it's expensive.
But you need, what is your first international golf trip going to be? Because you're speaking merely from hearsay, or what? You read a lot?
Yeah, I read a ton.
I need to get the Fried Egg International.
I'm probably going to go somewhere this winter.
Oh, where are you going to go? I want to go with you.
I might go to Australia.
Don't go to Australia.
I'm going to go to Tasmania, New Zealand also.
Are you going with the crew?
Yeah, one of my buddies just started working at Terra Edie. I might go visit him.
That's it?
Well, I don't know. I'll go to Paraparauma Beach.
I'll fucking go with you.
I'll go to, like...
Let's meet you and Colt go. You want to do it?
Yeah.
You look down to the left. That means no.
I don't commit.
You're non-committal.
Yeah. I'm the worst person to go on a golf trip.
How did you end up getting married? You're so non-committal.
Well, I...
Literally, Saturday, I was like, are we playing golf Monday at Lawsonia? And you're like, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I didn't know if we were playing at Lawsonia or somewhere else.
You wouldn't even commit on the place.
I was waiting for the forecast.
Waiting for the weather.
Yeah, if it was going to be cold, we were going to go south. If it was going to be warm, we were going to go north.
Your life is dictated by weather. It sounds like one of the things that really spins you the most is the fact that you have zero control over that which you must sort of, you know, reap rewards from, which is the earth.
Me and the weather, we're in a little bit of a tiff. You know, my wedding day, 0% chance for rain, and it poured.
No way.
Yeah, we tried to do the whole wedding outside. It was a disaster.
And you did no umbrellas?
No umbrellas.
Where was it? In Chicago?
Yeah, people were eating dinner with napkins on their head.
Amazing.
Yeah, we had a 2.5-hour cocktail hour. Everybody was wasted. My wife spent all this time on these decorations. I'll never hear the end of it.
Do we have friends in common there? Libman or Cider, anybody?
No.
No?
Cider didn't come.
Fucking.
Yeah.
He was invited, though.
He big-timed me.
Big-time? Dude, to invite someone to your wedding and not go, there's very few drinks more bitter than that one.
Oh. Yeah, when you have that wedding and no-shows are, you know, piling in.
They
not no-shows.
They're not forgotten.
When they can't come,
yeah.
It's like a good thing because we're like, oh, yeah.
More space.
Getting under our number.
Saving. Saving.
Saving money.
At that point, they just become $100.
Yeah. <it's> like
they just become more golf later in the season.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, but yeah. So the weather dictates that, but I don't know even what we were talking. But yeah, so I think my views on golf associate more with the you know, people of the UK or Australia.
I'm surprised your first trip isn't straight to Scotland.
You know, my problem is if I go, I want to go for like a month because I need to go see everything.
You can't do it in one trip, though.
I can't go and see six places.
Andy, you're on an OCD.
What?
Are you a little OCD?
No.
You're not?
No.
You're not. Are you a perfectionist?
No. I just know that if I go and see six places... It's just not going to do it.
Why? Just go do it multiple times.
Well, then why don't I just go there for like a month?
Because that's expensive and you're married and I don't know. And it's not sustainable. That's a long... Well, the reason... I don't know. I mean, I don't totally disagree with you.
There's an Airbnb. You get an Airbnb and you go.
Right. Well, I just think it's easier to go multiple times. Maybe for my life it is. I don't know. Because I work on a project basis. So typically I'm getting... My flights are getting covered. Whereas you need... You know, you would pay for your own flights and subsidize the flight by creating a tremendous amount of content.
Yeah.
So for you, it is really more valuable to go there for a long period of time.
Yeah, because like then the other thing is like you're set up. You got a home base.
I got a great idea.
Yeah.
Go get an Airbnb. Get like a 2 or a 3 bedroom.
Yeah.
Right? And basically what you could do. This is a great idea.
Airbnb it up?
not like an Airbnb, but like kind of like set up a website with a calendar, and it's $50 a night for each bed. And basically, I would book a bed for two nights to hang with you and play golf and whatever. And basically, you know, it could even be like a little like you know, that edutainment kind of thing. Like stay with Andy. Like you could learn about golf. Ideally, you could have people come that might bring units of energy to you that are interested in what you have to talk about. It might even potentially change in a formidable way what you do. Yeah. This could be cool.
It could be cool.
I don't know. It could be a show. It could be like the Real World for golf.
Could be a good show, you know.
I'm just thinking.
Randoms are coming in.
Yeah, this is my life.
I'm the only constant. Violet might be a. I need to figure out how to get Violet out there.
You can get her there. You just got to fly through Dublin.
Yeah.
Just go Chicago, Dublin, Dublin, Scotland.
Oh, that's easy. Maybe I'll go to Ireland instead.
No, Ireland's great, but it's got nothing on Scotland.
How did you say that so definitively?
Ireland is a neighborhood. Scotland is a country. And I don't want to offend any Irish people.
I think you just did.
I didn't really mean to. Let me just back up. I love Ireland. I had some of the best golf experiences of my life in Ireland.
Having said that, that's a curve.
Having said that. No, but Ireland's small. It's a continuance of villages, let's face it, right? I mean, you've got Dublin, then you've got a lot of villages. If you're going as one of the leading voices on golf course architecture, the history of golf, the culture of golf, this European golf centered perspective, Ireland is not the first stop. Ireland is amazing and beautiful and interesting, but it's smaller. I mean, it's just smaller. Like there's less people by, I think, a full zero. So I don't know. I mean, and when you look at the history of golf, it was in Scotland. It started there. I just think there's so many more courses that have a lot more to say about the history. I mean, the first course in Ireland is like, I don't know, I'm bad. But in Scotland, they're like 1580.
I might end up going to England. I might go to England. Because everybody goes to Scotland.
Now you're just fucking with me.
I like going against the grain.
Yeah, see, you don't even, now you're like, I'm going to go to New Zealand.
You know where is a place I want to go?
Thailand.
The Netherlands.
I'm having a hard time talking with you about this, to be honest with you. Just go to fucking Scotland, dude.
I'll go there. I'll get there. There's a ton of places in the United States I still want to see. So, like, if I haven't... This is, like, my thing. There's so many golf courses I haven't seen here that I need to see.
You can't leave.
So, once I see the place I really want to see here and feel like I've done an adequate job of being able to say, hey, this is where you should play here, you know, all over the country. You know, what's the other thing about these Scotland and Ireland, like there's a ton of value. Like I want to go personally. Like if this was all about personally,
yeah,
I would have already been there like five times.
Really?
But this is about, you know, doing my job. And I think in terms of where, you know, what I do, it's much more important for me to be here right now.
Okay. You're probably not. I mean, I don't know really the details of that, you know, decision-making process. But, I mean...
There's so much stuff around, you know, the country that needs to be seen and had a light shown on it.
Your main FAQ is, I'm here, where should I go play golf?
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of those questions.
What's your biggest answer you're solving for people? What's the biggest need you're filling?
I think the biggest problem in American golf is that everybody associates price with how good something is.
Mm.
And like the best golf experience, some of the best golf experiences I've had are playing golf courses that are less than $50.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, for the most part, I believe, and this is not at all a 100% true statement. Like it doesn't apply to every city, but for the majority of cities, the most expensive public golf course is not the best public golf course.
Wow. That's a really cool, you know, like little Easter egg you opened up for, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it helps you use your inquiring mind, right? Which is hard to do. It's easier just to go play the most expensive one and like complain.
The other thing is like everybody in golf, and this is again... This is a hasty generalization. Everybody in golf tells you everything's great. Like, when is the last time that a golf course opened or a golf course that's very highly regarded, have you ever heard somebody say that's not a good golf course?
Well,
like,
I mean,
there's an honesty, like, you know, that is missing, is that everybody, a lot of people write off press releases. It's just like there needs to be more, you know, transparency in what people do with regards to golf courses. It's like, not everything's the great, like, every year, this is the greatest new course ever, you know? It's like, no, it's not necessarily the greatest new course ever.
Is this because golf writers are lying, or because is it a weird, like, kickback rule?
Well, I think there's, like, a broken model in the golf industry where, like, for the most part, the magazines are subsidized by the businesses that make money off of golf.
Yeah, I heard a story from a friend of mine. They had a big advertiser. It was a very fancy watch company, and he wrote an article about how great this sort of inexpensive watch was, and the expensive watch company pulled their ads the next day.
It's crazy.
Pulled their ads. I mean, and that's a large chunk of their income.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, as a writer, it's not democratized anymore. You're not allowed to actually state your actual opinion.
Yeah. So, like, that's the same thing that goes with, like, you know, a lot of things in golf. It's like, you know, they can't write their real opinion because of the advertisers behind it.
I mean, on some level, the PGA Tour being one of the biggest companies in golf. I mean, I don't know a lot of major negative press around the PGA Tour, but I know that there are people who would never say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not interested in biting the hand that feeds them. I mean, if you look at when I go to a PGA Tour event as media, what do I get? Right? I get, like, fucking free food.
Yeah, you get free food.
I get great access. I'm treated better than some of the members of the Grey Goose Club,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's tricky. It's like a weird space that all of media is in.
Mm.
It's not just golf.
I'm sure.
You know, it's like the demise of, like, print media has led to this, you know, ad-based marketing, and then all of a sudden you've got advertisers that have inherent, you know, interest in your voice.
Right.
And when you lose your voice, what do you have as a media company?
So you're working towards your media company. Would you say, where does your podcast sit on the sort of batting lineup of your media team?
I mean, I think it's all, I think people digest content all different ways. You got reader, some people read, some people watch, some people listen. So you got to be able to supply all those different facets, do all those aspects of media well.
Right.
So, you know, that's like something you do, the visual stuff, so well.
Thank you.
So, like, I have built my company around, you know, the podcast, audio, and writing. And I'm trying to learn how to do the video stuff, but it's, you know, it's like anything. It's baby steps to get better, especially when you're, you know, in a limited, you know, when you have limited resources. So yeah. It's not like, you know, it's not like I'm outsourcing stuff to get it produced professionally, but, like, that's the thing is, like, you got to create content that appeals to all different types of people. That's the golden goose, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but just as a side note, more than most people, you have a very good eye. So I think you'll be successful based on just your judgment of what looks good. Because, I mean, golf course architecture, golf courses, they are a visual medium.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it, whether you're an architect or whether you're a media, you know, entity talking about it. So you got the podcast. You got two now. You got, the main one, the Yolk with Doak.
Yeah, the Fried Egg Podcast. The
Fried Egg Podcast, and then some of the episodes are the Yolk with Doak.
Yeah, it's like an ongoing series with Tom Doak.
And so you and Tom Doak, who's one of the most famous architects in America right now?
Yeah.
In the world?
Yeah, he's done some good stuff.
Kind of is responsible in some ways for bringing
Minimalism.
Us back to minimalism in golf architecture.
Yeah, him and Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw are probably the two most influential guys. Tom Doak He was the first guy to do the minimalism stuff, and then Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw did Sandhills, which is, you know, arguably the most influential course of like this modern renaissance of golf design. And then, you know, obviously Tom Doak has designed, you know, a handful of the greatest golf courses in the world, between like Pacific Dunes, Terahiti, Barn Boogle, Ballyneal, Rock Creek Cattle Company, you know. So he's done a lot of great work. That's a cool
name. RCCC?
I really want to go to that place.
Where is that?
It's up in Montana.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really cool.
I love those wide open ones.
This is what I'm talking about. There's so much stuff to see in the States that I get all bogged down. I you know, when I go somewhere, when I go to the city, I want to see 20 golf courses. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's so many courses I want. Like, I really like finding stuff that's got unique stuff, you know?
Why don't you, isn't the wife working mobile now, or what is she doing?
Yeah, but.
Why don't you and Mrs. Friedag and Violet get in PJ Koenig's RV when he's done using it and just move on, or get your own RV. Fucking just go do it.
I like being home, too.
Jesus Christ, you're an unsolvable riddle.
Yeah, I've had to travel every week this month.
Have you really?
It's killing me.
Just for courses?
Yeah, just going places, trying to, you know, it's fall here in Chicago, so I got to get all my acorns saved up for winter. get a bunch of stuff ready for the winter when I don't go outside for weeks on end.
Right.
So
what as far as and so anyway, they'll find your podcast out there. Just type in Fried Egg and you can hear Andy and Tom and now you've got a new one too about sports, about all sports currently.
No, it's just golf.
Just golf.
Yeah, it's just a morning show. It's like 30 minutes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Brendan Porath, who writes golf for SB Nation. Okay. He's a funny guy, you know. So we just talk about what's going on. It's like current events. It's essentially like just a, you know, geared towards that morning commute crowd. So
what's it called?
It's called the Shotgun Start.
Shotgun Start. Yeah. I do love the logo for that.
The orange and black.
Yeah, that's only like fucking, when did that start? What date did that start?
Oh.
It's not that long
beginning
ago.
Beginning of September.
That's really not long ago at all.
It's new. People like it so far, I think.
I like the idea.
Yeah. I
don't listen to a lot of podcasts, so
Yeah.
I don't even listen to this.
You don't read, you don't listen.
It's weird. I don't really ingest anything except for, you know, literally food.
Yeah. You watch stuff, though.
What do I watch?
I don't know.
I don't really.
You got to watch stuff. You produce stuff.
I watch a very little bit, though. I don't.
So it's Thursday night. We're in Eric Lang's house. What are you doing? You got nothing going on. What are you doing?
Thursday night at my house, nothing going on. I have nothing going on. Basically, I'm probably going to really... I'm more of a sensual person, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but like honestly, what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to cook food with maybe music, maybe none. I'm probably going to be like barefoot in the kitchen, and I'm going to cook, and I'm fully going to care about it, right? And I'm going to like take corn on the cob. I'm going to shave it off. I'm going to make some mango chutney, probably fry up a steak, and like... broil some potatoes, and then I'll eat that on the patio with a nice view. I got a little view in Laurel Canyon, and then I would wash all the dishes, might make dessert, might just go downstairs and get in bed, and probably would take a shower. I would take a shower, walk the dog, and then I would probably go downstairs and just sit in bed for a while, and like I would probably just think about how I'd want to spend my time most wisely, and I would either read a chapter from a book that's like 100 years old. I mean, it sounds like an idiot.
Well, no. See, you'd read, though.
I might, but that's rare. Or I might...
What if you had honestly, like a week? What would you do with a week?
Whoa. David, that's a tough one because then I would go travel.
You'd go travel?
Yeah.
Would you watch anything? You'd go see stuff?
Yeah. For me, I over probably watching media or listening to a podcast or reading, I'm probably going to choose experiencing something.
Yeah. So you're like going to play golf.
Or I would rather make something. That's what's great about golf. Or I would rather make something.
Yeah.
If I really had nothing to do for a week, I'd probably edit. I'd probably lock the doors and just edit.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem is we're slaves to our own.
I don't think. I think it was as more like I've got Legos. I got a bunch of Legos and no phone calls.
Did you play with Legos as a kid?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Big Lego. I think Legos were a formidable part of all of our lives.
Yeah, I was a big Lego guy.
I think the Legos are dead, and that's going to be the biggest problem, is that kids aren't going to be able to think actual creatively. They're mostly focused on hand-eye coordination and murder and like killing.
That's the biggest problem. I see the headline. Biggest problem in the world.
Lack of Legos.
Lack of Legos.
Such a jerk.
Need more Legoland.
I've been to Legoland. anything else you want to add? We're at the time where we can end freely.
Eh.
I've got to go to a Bulls game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
love the Bulls.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
You big NBA fan?
Huge. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Played with Tony Kukoc today.
He is a formidable, you know, person in my childhood.
Was he really?
Yeah, I watched the Bulls, man. I grew up during the dynasty era.
He was a really nice guy.
He played with the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
Don't at me.
What the fuck does don't at me mean? I don't understand. I've heard it now actually, 3 times this week and I don't understand.
I just know the context of it. I don't actually know what it means. I know how to use it. It's like when the kids are doing the spelling bee.
Yeah.
And they say, like, can you use it in a sentence? I know how to use it in a sentence, but I cannot define it.
What does it mean? It means...
I think it means, like, you know, don't you know, argue with me.
Oh, don't go on your Twitter feed like, now and don't say, at me. Hey, Andy, what the fuck? Tony Kukoc is not the greatest.
No. Michael Jordan's the greatest. He played with the greatest player of all time.
Sure.
Not LeBron.
MJ.
Yeah.
23.
All those...
Jumpman.
All those fools that think LeBron's the best player of all time.
Wow. Just lighting fires at the end of the pod.
Yeah.
This is good. Headline. Pod headline.
Pod headline.
Andy Legoland confirms MJ, greatest player of all time. Legoland must be brought back.
Yeah. two takeaways from this pod.
I do want you to break down your idea that minimalist architecture or golf course architecture is the craft beer of golf. I want this to be on your fucking headstone. I think it's such a great statement. And we talked about it a little bit on the vlog that people, you can go check out. It's concurrent with this podcast, as is normal when you're ingesting or digesting the content from this feed. Ugh, what did I just say? But anyway, check out the vlog of us going to Lawsonia. But you talk about being the craft beer. And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've tried to write this article probably like 10 times. What happens is I get really inspired one day and I write it. I'm just not quite right. And I put it away. And then like 3 months later, I come back and completely rewrite it. This happened for probably the last 2 years. But craft beer was an industry, a perfect example. I think it really parallels well. Craft beer was an industry struggled for 30 years because like nobody knew anything about craft beer. Like you go into a bar, like, you know, as a consumer, you're like, oh, Budweiser, Miller Lite, Heineken, Coors are the only thing you see, right? And then you could see this other beer, but, like, people don't like trying new things, right? Mm. People do not like change. But then all of a sudden, the internet got invented. And once the internet got invented, people had the ability to learn about craft beer. Because, like, these craft brewers couldn't advertise against Bud or Miller Lite. All of a sudden, then Instagram, social media occurred, and people could share that they loved this type of beer. They loved, you know, we're in Chicago, Goose Island would be one that became a huge craft beer, or Three Floyds now, like, you know, it's in Indiana, but our big craft beer. And then all of a sudden, people started sharing this, and people, you know, there's this free flow exchange of ideas. And I think with golf, we're in the same situation here where like different architects are like different craft breweries. So you've got like your Donald Ross and his courses are his different batches, so to say. And, you know, what you see with craft beer is people travel to go see this stuff. And just like that, we're going to see all of a sudden people are going to start to say, hey, I'm going to play this place because it's a Langford Moreau, like Lawsonia. Like, I like almost drove up to the UP yesterday to see this Langford Moreau I hadn't seen because I, you know, I like their beer. and so I think golf in general usually is like 5 to 10 years behind the trends of other industries. And I think we're going to see an explosion in this where like people are going to realize like, why am I playing this crappy golf course? Like, I could go play this other one. Like, I like this. I'm going to travel, go see it. You know, if I have to drive an hour instead of 30 minutes and there's nobody there, like, but like, I know why I'm going and what I want to go see. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Well, I look forward to seeing how viral that article goes, because I think it's a really brilliant idea. And I think the more that you, you know, do what you do, I think the more you inspire that thinking or for people, and you allow people to be armed with the knowledge to make those decisions themselves. Because the truth is, until someone told me about it, I didn't know that there was a choice. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, I just like you were describing in the beer industry. Like, I didn't know that there was a choice.
Well, it's like this this thing with, like, even groceries. We talked about this, too. Hmm. It's like for years, you know, grocery stores, all they... And I listened to a podcast, and they were talking about the attention that, like, YouTube and how everybody's fighting for people's attention. It was Sam Harris's podcast. Great podcast. Can get a little dark sometimes, but good podcast. He was talking about this whole thing where, like, the bottom's going to fall out with, like, all these different companies just trying to pry all of our attention away from us. And he was talking about the food industry and how all these grocery stores were trying to have the cheapest lettuce for years. Like, we have to have the least expensive lettuce. And I think with golf, it's actually the opposite, where it's like, you know, we need to have, like, all these nice features that are in our clubhouse, and we have to have, you know, the best carts, and we have to have golf boards, and we have to have really nice cart paths. Like, that's what everybody thinks. And at the end of the day, one day we're going to wake up and we're going to be like, why am I playing this shitty golf course? Just like people woke up one day and said, why am I eating this shitty lettuce? You know, like, and like the, you know, great architecture, like, doesn't discriminate. It's a golf course that everybody can enjoy. It's not just a golf course where, you know, a really good player can go and play and have fun. And, like, you know, really good architecture, Lawsonia, perfect example. Like, we spent, like, maybe, like, there was two holes where we had to look for a golf ball, three right. holes. You know, if you go play 95% of American golf courses, we would have been looking for golf balls on, like, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 holes.
Yeah.
You know, and that, to me, is, like, one of the biggest problems. That's why I'm out on American Golf.
Right.
It's, like, more places that are extremely friendly to players, that are playable, fun, you know, unique and interesting, have quirky stuff, like blind shots. Like, people hate blind shots, but blind shots are cool. Like, it's a cool way to have variety within the golf course. Like, who wants to play the same exact hole over and over again? Like, I want different shots. I want to have to think, and that's what great golf does. And I've completely gone so far away from my original analogy now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you've completely gone so far away that you're like Cat Stevens and you're sort of not allowed in America anymore.
I might be.
You're defected. Apparently, you did get blocked by a famous golf superintendent, we found out on Twitter.
No clue why.
And he got blocked from the super.
I'd never seen his profile
before.
Can
we say which course?
No.
It's so funny. but what's interesting is, you know, I see all of that stuff just being really important, you know, and I see that as being, I am really excited to see how that, you know, kind of adjusts the public's view of how golf is perceived, how it's paid for, how it's desired. And I mean, the truth is, I can see why you wouldn't go to Scotland, because I don't know where your audience is, but it seems like the problems exist here in America. Scotland is fine. They don't need the fried eggs help. They don't have Ghostbusters calls.
All those courses are still going to be there whenever I go.
In America, we've got real issues.
Yeah.
We've got courses that people don't know about. We've got courses that could be amazing that are being, you know, potentially in danger of being thrown away, or at least, you know, slighted or uncared for. And am I right? I mean, that's your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, part of it. It's like, I mean, that's part of what I like doing. I get really depressed when I go to places that are, like, really cool places that you know could be amazing.
I can hear it in your voice on your Insta stories.
Yeah.
You sound pissed when there's trees and shrinking greens. That's just awful for me.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like if you had, like, Frank Lloyd, like, this is the thing I don't understand. Golf courses, golf course architecture, just like architecture. Like there are these golf courses that are designed by the greatest architects of all time. And yet, like, all we want to do is change them. It's like a Frank Lloyd Wright house. You're not going to change it. Or, like, you know, like, it'd be like if you came here, we're in Chicago. So, like, if you went to the Wrigley building, said, you know what? Let's completely change the stone on the outside. Let's paint it. Let's do a different color. Like, that's what we want to do. Like, the fact that this happens, it just boggles my mind. Or they're like, you know what? We're going to plant these trees right on the most important part of this hole. We're just going to plant them. We're going to let them grow. Or, you know, somebody planted it there. We can't get rid of it or we can't move it. You know, that's this whole philosophy of, like, if you've got a golf course that was designed by a great architect, like, you should celebrate that because, like, that's something that's unique. But, like, in this country, everybody seems to want to, like, homogenize golf courses and make them the same. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. You should want to have unique golf courses.
You know, it seems like, obviously, I can tell why you're upset and I can feel it. Have you had a chance to really understand why people are, it seems like, I don't know, afraid to take a stand or why that they choose to get all homogenistic?
Well, the reality is the way golf works, like, is that the people that get in control don't really know anything about golf. It's like they're a golfer. You're
meaning an owner of a golf course? Or,
well,
or
like,
even bigger?
Let's just say it's a municipality.
Right.
Like a lot of times with a municipality... is run by a parks director. Like, the municipal golf course is run by a parks director who might play golf 5 times in a year.
They know about monkey bars.
Yeah, and they look at it from just a bottom line sense. Like, or, like, if you go at a country club, like, the people that are members at country clubs are great at their jobs, right? None of their jobs are golf jobs. Their expertise is being a lawyer, being a doctor, being a dentist, being a great businessman, doesn't mean you know a ton about golf course architecture or golf courses. And what they feel like they need to impose, you know, they're bosses. They're all bosses, you know? They want to tell people the way it should be done. As opposed to, like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's crazy. I could go on for days about
Andy,
this.
You just, I feel like you just sort of, We're walking down that hole of misunderstanding of why things are the way they are, and you looked up and realized you were already 40 feet down.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck this, man. It's got to be hard. You're an activist. You're a great guy. I really support everything you do, and I want to see it be really successful. So, everybody, if you care about golf and about what makes golf special, and if you want to learn a lot about this, Andy's the place to go. Everywhere else, it's just filtered. Everyone's just... This is from the source right here. You'd be surprised how many things you've heard all over golf media that Andy is the one that came up with. Am I right?
No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah. You do your research. I think it's really cool. I can tell what fuels you to do it. And I look forward to, you know, whatever you come up with next.
Hey, thanks.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing more of your stuff too, you know?
It's okay. You don't have to re-compliment me. It's fine.
No, it's good. It's good having more video stuff. Like, it's, I think everything, like, with, like, you know, small, the upstart outlets, the people, it's good. You want everybody to succeed because it's bringing a fresh new, you know, kind of era to the way golf is covered and the way golf is perceived.
Yeah.
You know,
rising tide lifts all ships, my guy.
Exactly.
Check out the vlog. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, I don't know if you watch the vlog, but Andy and I go play Lawsonia and have a great time, and Colt's there, and got some dogs, Violet and Snowball began. It was their first internet date.
Yeah. I think they got along pretty well. They both were pretty disinterested in each other, which I think for both of them, that's a great trait.
That's a positive. They're both not looking for anything too clingy.
Yeah.
Long distance, you know. Friendships usually do result in the best love affairs. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Andy and I Talk Shit. Again, check Andy out. Instagram, The Fried Egg. Just type it in, Fried Egg. You'll find everything. The podcast, the what the fuck is it called? The thing that comes to your inbox?
The newsletter.
I don't subscribe, but I think you should. I don't subscribe just
You should subscribe.
I should subscribe just to help your numbers. You know what?
Maybe we should do a vlog of you subscribing. Show everybody how it works.
Here's how you subscribe to Andy's newsletter.
You enter your email, and then, you know, you get it.
It's actually quite easy.
Yeah. You might not even have an email address. I kind of want to go no email.
You were considering only playing Lawsonia for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You were considering never playing golf in America again. Now you're considering deleting all email traces.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
You are an extremist, Andy. Thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.